Environmental groups are claiming a major victory after five companies agreed to stop fishing krill from key zones around the Antarctic Peninsula. Greenpeace says the companies are responsible for 85% of krill fishing in the Antarctic, but they've now volunteered to leave key buffer zones around penguin breeding colonies. The news comes as environmental groups continue to lobby for the creation of the world's largest sanctuary in the seas surrounding Antarctica. Andrea Kavanagh is the Director of Antarctic and Southern Ocean Conservation with Pew Charitable Trust. She joins me now from Washington, D.C. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be on again.
How significant is this agreement?
Well, to understand how significant it is, you have to understand that krill are the lifeblood of the Antarctic. Every single species either eats krill or eats something that eats krill. So it's incredibly important to protect them. And it's also important to understand that the climate is changing. Everyone knows the climate is changing, and it's having an impact on krill species in particular. And so it's really important that these fishing companies have acknowledged that they need to leave some buffer zones around penguin colonies in order to protect the penguins. And it's also incredibly significant that these same companies have also agreed to support a network of marine protected areas around the Antarctic. I can't actually think of another industry that on the whole has supported a network of MPAs. So this is very, very good news coming out of for the Antarctic this week.
As you say, almost everything in those seas either eats krill or eats something that eats krill. These animals are pretty tiny, the size of your little finger. Can you just explain a bit more about what the impact is that they have on the broader ecosystem?
Sure. So krill are eaten by penguins and whales and seals, but then also they're toothfish as well. It's probably the largest, the most biodiversity in the entire Antarctic depends on krill. If you have to, you have to be able to protect it. Otherwise, these areas will not support the same amount of life. Like the whales and the seals and all.
So how will this decision by these five companies actually change the way krill is fished? What's the size of the zones, the buffer zones that we're talking about?
Sure. So the buffer zones themselves vary in sizes depending on how critical the areas are. There are some that are 30 kilometers out, some that are 40 kilometers out, and some that are a bit larger than that. How this whole decision came about is that the largest krill fishing company, Aker BioMarine, that operates out of Norway, 2 years ago recognized that there were problems with some of the Gentoo penguin colonies. And we can't tell for sure if those problems were because of fishing. More likely it's because of climate change. But they recognized that the problem was there, and they voluntarily agreed to stop fishing in areas around those colonies. And since then, Greenpeace has been running this incredible campaign to protect huge Antarctic ocean MPAs. And they've worked with Aker BioMarine to get them to talk with their other industry colleagues to get them signed up to this voluntary agreement as well. And so it covers 85% of the krill industry, which is just huge. There are only two boats now who are outside of the krill fishery, and outside of this agreement for the krill fishery. That's one Chinese boat and one Ukrainian boat.
Is the bigger news here really that you have big companies that really control a sector making these decisions voluntarily?
That's exactly it. I think the bigger news is number one, they're voluntarily agreeing to not fish. They're recognizing the impact, but they're also saying that they want this voluntary measure to go into the planning process for creating a marine protected area. And they're also endorsing the fact that we need marine protected areas. I think that's a really big step for a fishing industry to acknowledge that, you know, there are some places that we just shouldn't fish. And that is why I've called that agreement visionary and just one of the most forward-thinking activities that I've seen in the fishing industry undertake in a long time.
One of the figures that I read relating to this was quite interesting. It says that only 1/3% of the total mass of krill is actually fished every year. I mean, that does seem like a very small proportion of the broader krill population.
Yes, it does seem like a small portion. except when you look at exactly where they're fishing for them, because the fishing is concentrated right around the Antarctic Peninsula. And the Antarctic Peninsula is an incredibly special place, but it's the fastest warming on the planet. It's visited by the most tourists every year, and it's the most heavily fished for krill. And the krill fishing companies do concentrate right along the coasts, and that has a real impact on breeding and nesting penguins in particular when penguin chicks are at their most vulnerable because parents are trying to get out to the sea to get food and bring it right back to them. Having the fishing industry right there on top of those colonies is hard, especially when they're already dealing with a changing climate. So
I'm interested also in this tactic that you've talked about, whereby groups like Greenpeace have lobbied one big company and they've then lobbied other companies and come to this decision voluntarily. Is that an approach that's being replicated with other types of fishing? You know, we obviously often hear about bluefin tuna and various other species that are overfished.
I really concentrate on the Antarctic. So the first thing I thought of was we should try this approach with the toothfish fishing industry, because that's toothfish is sold in the U.S. as Chilean sea bass and in other markets. And there is an industry group called the Coalition of Legal Toothfish Operators, and I thought we should actually reach out to them and see if they wanted to endorse this network of MPAs as well. It seems to be very successful, and we would love to see this initiative replicated across Antarctica.
Andrea Kavanagh, it's fascinating to talk to you about this. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful to talk to you.
Andrea Kavanagh is the Director of Antarctic and Southern Ocean Conservation with the Pew Charitable Trusts.